On this episode of The Edge podcast, ClearEdge CEO Leslie Vickery interviews Lauren Jones, Senior Director of Operations at Star Staffing, a fully woman-operated recruitment firm. The theme of this episode is making life commitments work for you, because only a few years ago, Lauren started a new life journey that has brought her both work-life balance and fulfillment, something that people spend a lifetime searching for. Lauren speaks to her new journey, which, to give you a hint, includes swapping 250 pairs of shoes for 18 chickens, 15 goats, 10 sheep, 8 ducks, and 4 dogs. Lauren shares so much actionable insight in this episode on how to achieve fulfillment and balance, and she also explains how saying no has brought her more opportunities than yes ever has. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery, the CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and I am here today at the Edge podcast with Lauren Jones, who is the Senior Director of Operations for Star Staffing. Welcome, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Well, let's dive a little bit into your background. So you were at Volt, Select, Remedy, and Kelly, and you've been in the recruitment industry for nearly 20 years. So how did you get into staffing, and what makes you stay in our industry?
Yeah, I feel like our industry, you know, a lot of us just kind of by happenstance came into this industry, and I'm no different. You know, I was raised by a very Southern woman, my meemaw, who fresh out of school, I kind of wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And she said, well, I was a Kelly girl. And so I went to Kelly Girl, which is Kelly Services, and signed up. And as a temp, I was working for a pharmaceutical company. And the rest is history. You know, I met the sales rep and began my recruiting, began on a desk, and navigated my way through the industry from there. And I think what has kept me here is the people. You know, they come from all walks of life, and I've never met a more, you know, we're exposed to a lot of industries in the staffing industry, and I've just never met a more diverse group, so it keeps it exciting.
Well, I will just kind of tee up a theme for this conversation today. So while we're going to kind of weave in bits and pieces of the staffing industry and your role, just to give people more background about who you are and what you do and why we have you on this podcast, but just from a theme standpoint, which we don't always do for this particular show, is actually today making life commitments work for you. It's kind of a fancier way of saying work-life balance. However, we're going to call it making life commitments work for you. And I actually met you, I guess, 3 years ago during the TechServe conference in Palm Springs. So I was newly pregnant, and we had sponsored the women's luncheon at the conference, which we've done for the past 11, 12 years now. And you were one of the table moderators, event moderators at the event, and that's how we originally came to know each other. And being newly pregnant, a lot of people at the actual event who I've known for many years didn't know that we were pregnant, and I was 42 at the time. It was very unexpected, and I stood up in front of a room of people who I've spoken with and to for many, many years, and all of a sudden, I just became really overwhelmed and literally started crying in front of the entire room. And again, this was my first interaction with you, was at that actual luncheon. And I guess just leading up to it, I kept getting questions about, you know, how are you going to run your company if you have a baby? What's going to happen? Are you still going to do it? And I felt like I was getting more, you know, negative feedback than positive. And here I was standing in front of this room full of women, and I thought to myself, honestly, what I need right now, because I'm feeling so overwhelmed, is the support from my female peers. I just need support. And it just started pouring out at that moment. And what I didn't realize was, meeting you at that time, I had no idea how much you would have an influence on my life and my career as a working mom, an entrepreneur, a business owner, who would need to find a different type of balance. And in fairness, I probably needed to find that balance anyway, but I needed to figure out how to make it work. And what you've been able to do, and we'll go into that story next, is you've been able to pull that off, where I think a lot of people, especially in our industry, cannot find it. We feel like we need to work around the clock all the time for various reasons, but you've been able to find that. So what's fascinating to me is how you found it, and that you actually found it through goats. And I'm going to repeat that. You found it through goats. So anyone listening, yes, G-O-A-T-S. Okay. So in reality, Lauren, you found it through a journey. And the journey led you to your philosophy around goat leadership. And those of you listening who follow Lauren on LinkedIn have, I'm sure, read her Pulse post about her, you know, theory over goat leadership and where this comes from. But summed up, it's basically about goats and how you related that to just life. So being happy, perseverance, to simplify, be loyal, be endlessly curious, which I love, and to have fun. So again, you accomplished something that many cannot. The whole work-life balance, sure, but also fulfillment in your life, in your personal life, in your professional life all at once. So with that, I'd love for you to just share with everyone your story and how this new perspective on life has helped you operate as a leader.
Well, accomplished. That's a big word. I feel like I'm always under construction, just like my house.
It's a good point. Yeah. It's a journey, like we said.
Yes, it is definitely a journey. And, you know, it's. I think you and I are support of, you know, you meet the right people at the right time in your lives, because I definitely needed the additional encouragement of the females, strong female leadership in my life. So you came in at the right point as well. And, you know, right at that TechServe point, I began to feel this, you know, itch that I couldn't scratch. It was a lack of fulfillment. You know, I was just going through life and checking the boxes. We have this beautiful house on a cul-de-sac, and I began to feel this suffocation. And that's the only word I can attribute it to. I had always been a beast from a work ethic perspective. And, you know, in school, I would work myself until I got pneumonia. And, you know, at work, mm-hmm. I always went at this. My grandma called it burning the candle at both ends. All the time. And, you know, I said it in my speech, you know, when you reach that 40 age, you grow your wisdom bone, I think. Mm-hmm. Your wisdom bone starts coming in. And, you know, I just needed to come up for air. I felt like I'd spent 40 some odd years not breathing. And for whatever reason, maybe, you know, one too many episodes of Fixer Upper, I just felt like I needed land, I needed space, I needed oxygen. And the only thing that was pacifying that was this sort of endless search for some land here in California. It is expensive, and it took us about 18 months to find our perfect Fixer Upper. And, you know, I didn't really have animals or goats, quite frankly, in the picture. I just knew that I had this thing inside me that needed to come out, and I needed to feel fulfillment. And through, I guess, requirement of living in this sort of farm lifestyle, you know, having land, you know, you need animals. You need animals to help you with the pasture to keep it down. And of course I am the consummate YouTube Google farmer. I have to YouTube everything, and I Google so many things, about farm life, and, you know, my book library has completely changed to, you know, sustainable farmer and the backyard farmer and all of that now from all of my other previous books that were not with those titles. But it took us about 18 months, and we began with a few sheep just to help with the pasture, because it was like 4 feet high. And then my daughter said, well, you know, if we have sheep, we should get goats. And, well, naturally, you know. So then we began with the goats. And it was really not just about the goats, but it was about watching these beautiful creatures help me create something beautiful. And, you know, they're the coolest little creatures in the world. They're, you know, like my article says, I mean, they're so happy all the time. They're great collaborators. And just watching all of this happen has changed my pace. So I take a minute to watch through my big picture window, watch them, and, you know, my habits are different. But the fulfillment of having something where, you know, both my spouse and I are on this very united mission of, you know, creating our beautiful vision, and trying to lead a more simple life. I gave away half my wardrobe to Women's Empowerment down in Sacramento. I took 19 construction bags, and I don't know if you've ever seen a construction bag.
Pretty massive, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Pretty massive. I took 19 construction bags down to Women's Empowerment. I gave away 250 pairs of shoes. I had just amassed things, and I still didn't feel fulfilled. And so this life of animals and gardens and, you know, I don't have any fake plants in my house anymore. It was really just about being able to breathe and live more simply. And that it's obviously translated into my career. And helps me maintain balance because I do have a tendency to work before I play.
So if you think about that, when you are working with other people and, you know, it's easy to get really sucked back in, how do you maintain the strength, I guess, because you go home and you work from home often and you have that flexibility, but it's so easy to check your email and to be connected, I guess, with technology today. How do you really shut down?
It used to be like my phone was always on me. I lose my phone all the time now because it's not the priority. I think it's really about changing your focus and coming outside of myself. I think it has allowed me to focus on something other than me. And, you know, I've always been focused on my kids and my husband. But when you are really focused on, balance, you have to kind of come outside of yourself and say, okay, I'm going to put this away and I'm going to have silence, or I am going to wake up in the morning. You know, I have a very, very standard routine in the morning. Of, you know, I go to the gym, I come back, and I spend an hour in the kitchen by myself. It's my quiet time. It's my, you know, I have my coffee in the kitchen. I'm getting, you know, everything else ready, but it's my silence. And you know, some people meditate. That's my form of meditation, is really just kind of basking in the silence. And then I go out into the farm and I feed everybody and I talk to everybody, but nobody talks back. That's a wonderful thing about a farm as well.
Well,
I mean, they kind of talk back, but.
Right, but it's in a different language and they're always happy on the goat side, so it's all good.
Yeah, you know, you could wake up in a terrible mood and you go outside and they're like, meh, and you're like, hey,
oh, my gosh.
You know, it's really hard to be angry or in a bad mood around goats or animals in general.
Well, I highly encourage everyone listening to read Lauren's blog because it really is inspiring to kind of put into perspective what you've learned, which, you know, there aren't many people who could say the same thing, what they've learned through goat leadership. And to put it into perspective, a couple of things, you know, you have 14 goats.
Yes.
This isn't like a, you know, oh, we have a couple goats and, you know, look at this. I mean, in truth, we've talked about this, you know, the fad with goat yoga. I mean, there's so much you could start doing. I think myself and a few of our good friends in the industry are, you know, we joke about it, but at some point we may crash your farm and take advantage of this wonderfulness that you have through a workshop or something. I don't know, but
absolutely.
You are absolutely invited.
My goats are fat, though. I tried going out there doing goat yoga, and they're heavy. I mean, I had two of them on my back, and I was like, listen, buddy, you need to get
okay,
out.
Next time you attempt that, you have to Facebook Live that and just tell a few of us as you're doing it. The one thing I love about what you're doing, Lauren, is that you have two daughters, and the fact that they are able to not only grow up in a household to see, you know, you and your husband kind of band together to make this change, but also just to have such a strong female role model, I know is a wonderful influence for them, and they're very fortunate to have you. And kind of on that theme, I would say, if you think about kind of that next generation within our industry, so to speak, you're able to enjoy that flexibility today. So obviously early in your career, and we know within the staffing industry in particular, that fee earners, so there's sales reps and recruiters, they're measured based on activity and metrics, right? So they're expected to be in the office for long hours. And while some companies enjoy flexibility, and maybe it's, you know, if you perform at a certain amount, you can work from home on Fridays or come in and do a half day at home and half day in, it's still an industry that is newish to that level of flexibility, because ultimately, you know, activity and metrics leads to performance. That said, looking back, so just again, to help the people kind of new to our industry, look back on your career when you first started, so the Kelly Girl days, 20 years ago. What do you wish you knew then that you know now?
I really needed to trust my gut. I have really good intuition. I think anybody in this industry, or anybody that's really passionate about the recruiting industry and people in general, because this is the people industry, you know, I would have acted on my gut more, because my gut has, and now that I've sort of silenced the committee, you know, in my head, I definitely act on my gut more. And so we have really, really good instincts. And for whatever reason, when we're young, and we tend to second guess ourselves, and confidence comes with time, but trust your gut. I think I would have done that. I would have acted on that more frequently. And then I also would have told myself, everything is negotiable. Everything. There isn't anything that's in writing, in a contract, that you can't sit down and have a conversation about. And then finally, I think it's, you know, performance gives you muscles. And what I mean by that is it gives you negotiating muscles. If you know, I was always a good performer, and I wish that I had, you know, if I could have gone back and said, hey, you know, look at all of this that I've done. You know, I'd like to negotiate more vacation time, or I would like to negotiate, you know, that Friday from working from home. I think that I could have, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but it may not have taken a midlife crisis and 14 goats to get me.
Right. Had you known then.
Had I known then. And 10 sheep and 18 chickens and, you know, 8 ducks.
Oh, my gosh.
But a lot less farm animals, but they have a lot of love, so that's good. Winning, too.
Exactly. Well, I think the trusting your gut message is an important one. And it does take, I think, some time and experience to get to that point where, and confidence, ultimately, you know, building yourself up and having the confidence to believe in yourself and to listen to your gut. I know it took me a lot of years to get to that point, but hopefully people will listen to themselves and trust their gut a lot earlier. I think that's great advice. And to your point about negotiation, you know, a lot of times in our industry, they'll say, you know, well, if you're reaching out to candidates, the best times are before 8 and after 6, let's say. So you need to be in the office at those times to reach them. Obviously, with technology, you do not have to be in the office to do that. However, there's still this mentality to a certain degree that productivity needs to be seen and that everyone needs to be sitting together to do that. You know, our model is very virtual, so I'm not of the same mentality, but I was cut from that cloth growing up in the staffing industry. And, you know, to build loyalty and to build trust within a company, you know, there's definitely downtime during the day that if you're going to come in early and you're going to leave late to do those things, there's certainly things you could do during the day. So asking, you know, if you don't ask, you don't get yes. And, you know, requiring that flexibility, if you're performing, you're more likely to get that. So I think there's some flexibility there. You just have to ask and think about it. So.
Yeah. And be really vocal about your strengths. I think that's one, you know, there's so many lessons I could teach myself, but it's one that I'm really trying to capture and help ingrain in my girls, is that be vocal about what you're really good at, because not only will you enjoy your job more, but you'll be, you know, better aligned with the leaders that surround you. If you can really say, this is where I have, and I try and do that now with all of the leaders that report into me, is what really makes you happy? What part of your job really makes you happy? And how can we as a company leverage that to have you do it more?
That's an excellent point. So I actually read something that you had said before, which was, the power of no has brought me more opportunities than saying yes ever did. And it's something that I struggle with. I have a terrible time saying no and always want to help and give back. And it ends up spreading yourself too thin. In fact, Emily, who's sitting here with me right now helping with this podcast production, you know, I said to her walking into this meeting, I need 5 minutes to prep because I have not, you know, I've spread myself too thin. I put too many back-to-back meetings in place. And Dana Shaw, who we all, you know, we both know, and I can appreciate something she told me, always build in, you know, 15 minutes between meetings. You need that space. You need that presence of mind just to be present. And that's something that I'm really working on. But I'd love to hear how you do this. So I think not only on the balance side, so making commitments work for you professionally and personally, but also on the productivity front. So things just don't always feel so chaotic. For me personally, when I read what you said, it made me think of, you know, it would actually, I think, help my schedule and help me be more effective and productive by doing that. So tell us what your thinking was behind that.
It was more of this epiphany or realization, I guess, that I don't need to be all things to all people. And those said people don't want me to be all things to them either. Mm-hmm. And I think that realization really helped me create alignment and purpose. So when I align my tasks and I align my projects first with my family life, first. So when I look at my monthly calendar, I look at what do I have going on interpersonally through the charities that I support and what family events do I have going on. And then I do my work calendar. It used to be the complete opposite. I would go in and I would put all my work commitments in first. And then I would go in, whatever spare time I had would be whatever personal commitments I could squeeze in. And now I've entirely changed the focus. My family calendar, I use Cozy. My family calendar comes first and my work calendar comes second. Obviously, there's going to be, you know, some non-negotiables. I'm going to be working this Saturday because we have a big town hall, but I'm taking Friday off. So I really try and, it's like when I buy clothing or shoes, if I'm bringing one thing in, another thing goes out. And it's, you have to be very, very purposeful, and intentional, with, putting your family and those that you love first in through action, if that makes sense.
It does. I love that. The family calendar first. Obviously, Grayson is only 21 months old, so his activities are a little limited at this age. However, it will get there, and I will need to do that. So I think that's a great piece of advice, and I certainly am going to take to heart a lot of what you said today as far as making the commitments work for you. And just, I think a couple messages that you've had that have resonated, it's a lot of that communication piece. It's always, doesn't it, Lauren, come down to communication? I feel like in life in general, personally, professionally, if we just were open and honest and, you know, had the confidence and courage to communicate things that maybe we hold back, we could do a better job of finding that that balance and making and being fulfilled. So, okay, with that. Go ahead.
And saying no isn't, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. It's, you know, the time that you've asked me to do it or the project that you've asked me to do isn't in alignment with what I'm doing now. It doesn't mean I'm never going to do it or I won't make time for it. But by doing that, it's opportunities to sort of come out of the woodwork by sort of putting my, you know, digging my heels in the ground. Anyway, go ahead.
Right. No, I agree. Okay, so with that, I am going to put you on the spot. I know you have listened to our podcast in the past, so you know this is going to go in probably one of two directions. And we are going to go in the direction of you telling us, and I have no idea what you're about to say, one thing that we don't already know about you. So, you know, normally you could probably throw out that you live on a farm and have all of the animals that you've quoted already, but one of the things that people don't already know about you that others may find surprising.
I don't know if you know or not that I was a professional musician before I got into staffing.
I did not know that.
I have four CDs out there. I was with I was this little Irish folk band, and you know, I think you know, instead of going brass or we went brass instead of platinum. I was in this little folk band. I was with the Utah Opera Company for a few years, and yeah, I was just a very very enthusiastic musician. That's what my education is in, and. And I still sing, and I am still not engaged in the community, but I do still sing.
Okay, so I have to ask you, does Art, Ryan, Leah, anyone from Bullhorn and Stampede know this?
You know, I don't.
They may need to pull you up on stage.
Yeah, they do now.
We're going to make sure they know. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. Well, I can't wait to hear you sing live, because that will happen now. And Lauren, thank you so much for sharing your story and being so open with us today. And always, I adore you and just am so thankful that we met when we did, because sincerely, you've really made a difference for me. So I thank you.
Thank you. I am equally grateful to have you in my life and share in these experiences. And I hope that I'm able to be a resource for other women, you know, my age or younger or older, who may be struggling, you know, with balance. Like I said, I haven't accomplished it yet. I mean, accomplished means done, but I am definitely better off than I was.
The fact that you focus on it and that you're attempting to do something, like we said, it's always a journey and we're always learning. The point is to do it at some point, and you are, which is fantastic. With that, people probably will want to get in touch with you. So tell us, what's the best way to reach you?
So my email is Lauren, Lauren, @starhr.com. My Twitter handle is @lbuffjones. I believe it's me and a goat on the page. Yeah. I have an upcoming blog that will be on WordPress, Feather Farms. So I will announce on LinkedIn. And obviously, you can find me on LinkedIn under Leap Jones, LEAP Jones. Reach out to me for anything. And I might not say yes right then, but we'll figure out how we get there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again so much for being on The Edge.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, @clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.